Have you seen a picture of Jack yet? Isn't he cute? He's so cute. He's with me today. Now, I tell you, because I was born in 1912, my memory isn't what it used to be. I have a hard time remembering a movie that we saw last month. I was telling John, it's embarrassing. I can't even remember what the plot of that movie was. Maybe it wasn't a great movie, but I read by a quotation from Price Pritchard, and he said that we are exposed to more information in one day than our great-grandparents were in their entire lifetimes. And I said, well, no wonder. You know, we're exposed to a lot of information. It's overload. We're stressed. But somehow, I can remember a scene from a movie I saw 30 years ago. You might have seen the movie, too. It was Beaches. It was a big hit. Bette Midler, kind of sappy. And I remember one scene, and it was a scene in which Bette Midler, who played the part of a pop star and actress, she just won a Tony in the movie. This was a real stretch for her character, right? But she was going on and on and on about her success and her life and how wonderful things were. She was telling her friend, the character Barbara Hershey played. And as she was just effusive about her own life, and her friend was going through tough times. But finally, Bette took a breath and she said, oh, enough about me. What do you think about me? You know? And I thought about that and I thought, you know, we're all self-absorbed at times. And I'm going to embarrass myself because I'm going to tell you about a time when I was. And it was a few years back. Before I was in UU, of course, and I was hired to do a series of presentations. It was about 57 presentations in different cities. And I prepared for it because the client said, we really want this to be fun, entertaining. They're going to be learning, but I want them to be having fun, smiling, having a good time. So, okay, I love it. Well, I started the presentations, and it was going well. I was having fun. But the second or third week, I was in Los Angeles. And just before I was about to go on, I was being introduced, I noticed a woman came in late. And she was standing at the back, and if you're like her, you have to get there early to get a good seat at the back. There were no seats at the back, only at the front, and most people don't want to sit up front. And most people are afraid the speaker will call on them if they're too close. I really admire all of you for coming here early. A woman was directing traffic, so to speak, and told her that there were some seats on the far right. So this woman, and when I looked at her face, she had this sad face. As she walked toward the front, she sat on the far right, third row. And every time I looked at her, after I started my presentation, every time I looked at her, she looked down. And she seemed to be slumping down in her seat more and more. And the first thing I thought was, I have to work harder. I have to make this fun, entertaining, come on. So I was working harder, but I'd look at her, she'd look away, and I said, boy, she doesn't want to be here. Her boss probably ordered her to be here. Then later I'd look at her, and I'd make eye contact, she'd immediately look down and away. She looked so miserable. And I thought, not only does she not want to be here, she hates the program. A little while later, I try again. She does not want me to look at her. And I thought, you know, it's not that she doesn't want to be here, and it's not that she doesn't like the program. It's that she hates me. So I started taking it so personally. You know how it is when people may be rude to you or they ignore you. You feel it's you. Well, I wrapped up the program, and by then I was feeling a little down. I have to admit it. But fortunately, there were people who got in line to talk to me or ask me a question. And as I was talking to people, I saw her get in line. And I thought, oh my gosh, now she's going to tell me personally that she hates me. But when she got up to the front of the line, she had tears in her eyes. And this is so clear to me. This is one of the things I remember, because they say we remember the bad more than the good. But she had tears in her eyes. And she said, I just wanted to tell you, and her voice started to crack. She said, I wasn't going to come today, but I'm so glad I did. And I felt like such a jerk because here I was focused on me. Oh, she doesn't like me. She doesn't like my program. And it wasn't about me because I found out. I said to her, what's going on? And she started crying. Not just crying, she was sobbing. And there were two men standing behind her and they are mouthing the words and doing these big gestures saying, what do we do? What do we do? One man was trying to pat her back like she was a baby. You know, oh, it's okay, you know. And I told her to breathe. You'd appreciate that, Liv. I told her, just breathe, breathe. And I saw she was trying, but she was actually sobbing. And when she finally got things under control, and I said, do you want to tell me what's going on? And she said, between gasps, she said, my husband left me. I have three little girls. I lost my job, and my house is in foreclosure. I'm ready to cry. I couldn't believe it. I really, really felt like a jerk. So she stood there. She was leaning on me. I'm leaning on her. We hugged, and I was just desperate. I picked up something. I had a little book on the table next to me, and it was favorite quotations, positive thoughts for a more positive life. I said, here, take this. I was trying anything. I was desperate. I said, take this. You need some positives in your life right now. And she said, no, you don't need to do that. And I said, no, I want to. Really, it's going to help me feel better if you take this. And she took it. She hugged me again, and she left. I went home and told John about this. And I said, I can't stop thinking about this poor woman. And you never know. You never know what people are going through when you look out there. And I thought about her for weeks. And about 3 weeks after that, I got a card from her in my mailbox. And it said, I just want to thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for being so nice to me. Every morning, my three girls and I, as we sit at the breakfast table, we take turns reading a positive quotation before we go out the door. And made me cry. I still feel emotion for this woman. She was incredible. And what I learned is we really have to know that we don't know what people are going through. And they say the average person goes through three crises a year. This woman had four at once. And we never know when we're crossing paths. We know with joys and sorrows. People are going through things all the time. And it could be a bad diagnosis. It could be the breakup of a relationship, a car accident, injuries, the loss of loved ones. We just don't know. Those things happen to all of us. And it is so wonderful that we do have a place like you, where we can come and lean on each other and feel the support. Well, I think that I forgot to read my speech. I'm sorry. I forgot I was supposed to read it. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, my point was, we really don't know when somebody doesn't feel like smiling or feel like saying hello. They're going through a tough time. And I can tell you a story about myself. When I went through a tough time, it was September 10th. I can remember this. And I was at the post office retrieving my mail. And as I was walking down the main aisle of the post office, I was looking down at some cards I'd received. And I heard a man's voice say loudly, he says, why don't you smile? You never smile. What do they call you at home, Smiley? And I looked up, you know, as he passed me, and I thought, who is that? And they said, is he talking about me? But there was nobody else there. It had to be me. So then I think, I smile. Yeah, I smile. I just don't feel like smiling today. And the truth was, it was 4 days after my dad's funeral. And I was deep in thought. You know, and that's one of the circumstances where we don't know if other people are having that happen. But an addendum to that little story is a year later, I was at the village market next to the post office, and I heard a voice say to a woman at the produce area, in the produce department, he said, what are you doing to the fruit? Are you taking all the good fruit? You better leave some of that good fruit for me. And then he walked down in an opposite direction from the fruit. I said, where did this man get his communication skills? He needed some help. Well, I know that little things can make a difference, as we've heard this morning. And what I have seen over the years is that some of the most minute things can touch people's lives. And I love it here at UU because as we look at the children's recessional, it says, as we leave this friendly place, it's wonderful because it is a friendly place. Through our ushers, our patio ambassadors, our greeters, the way people talk to one another and look forward to having coffee afterwards, the way they share, we have the pastoral listener, all sorts of things are happening here to support people who may have a joy or a sorrow. And that makes a huge difference. And one of the things that I think is most important is that we connect in life. And a lot of people forget or get so absorbed, and we do have to excuse them when they're going through tough times. But just to say hello to people, they know that the person who says hello first is perceived to be more confident of two people. They know that a smile is the greatest predictor of likability. And we've seen how those small gestures can lift people up or feel glad that they came to UU. And I know that when I grew up, I was very shy. I wasn't able to say hello first. But in ninth grade, I saw people who were friendly, and I said, I want to do that. And it was hard, actually hard, to say hello first to other people, to initiate it. But I made it a game, and it worked eventually. And my daughter, when she was 18 and going off to college, and I was feeling, oh, so worried about her, she put her arm around me like she was the mom, and she said, don't worry, Mom, you taught me well. And I was searching for a compliment. I said, what did I teach you? And she said, you taught me to say hello first. I'm going to be okay. And, you know, just to be able to break the ice, to meet people, to make friends, it's such a small thing, but it works. And if I asked you, how many of you remember being shy or being an introvert? Statistics showed 96% of us would say we do remember being shy. Only 4% of people are natural extroverts. We can learn. We can make it a great game and try to be the first to say hello. It's one of the best lessons we can share with one another. The other thing when we communicate and to build better friendships is by listening, and we heard about that today. Listening shows you care. Have you ever been out with someone, not a UU person, of course, have you ever been out with someone who never asked you one question? Yes. Long evening, right? I bet you didn't marry that person. But the truth is, questions show we care. And it doesn't have to be an interrogation. It's just showing we care or that we're interested. We want opinions. And hint, the collage people want your opinions. So, simply asking questions about a person's feelings, how things are going, and then really listening. When I was in my early 30s, one of my best friends, she worked down the hall from me at a medical building. And 31, she caught the flu. And that was Tuesday. And on Saturday, she died of viral myocarditis. She got the flu. It invaded her heart, destroyed the muscle, and she passed away. And I remember training a young man when I was working in the healthcare field and I was doing training. I told him I was going to end the day early. I hadn't told him about my friend. And he said, are you okay? And I hadn't wanted to talk about it because I was afraid I'd get emotional. He said, are you okay? And I told him what had happened. His first comment after I told him about my friend's passing was, you think that's bad? And he topped it. Well, some people just don't get it. And we need to not only ask questions, but comment on what the person has said and give them feedback, how sorry we are, or what can I do? Things like that before. And I know you people are so good about this. But the last thing that I think I've learned is that in order to impact lives, is the kindness factor that we have so generously here, whether it's the backpack projects, the food, the service, the volunteerism, so much kindness. It's incredible. And the children's processional again, now it says, may the kindness which we learn light our hearts till we return. Isn't that wonderful? It's a kindness that shows loves and the words that are and words that are kind and true, they say, can change the world. And the two most important words we can use are for you. Is there anything I can do for you? It's powerful, and it shows that you do care enough to want to take action. Now, especially when people are experiencing those sorrows or their tough times. And I know that UU is a wonderful home for all of us, and it's a fellowship that it's filled with people who are making a difference, so that when troubles are happening or bad times, they're there. Like in May when the fires broke out, Rev D called. John and me, we were packing for possible evacuation, and Rev D said that there were many people in UU who were offering to open up their homes to people who were evacuating or needed a place to stay. That's so kind. That's so wonderful and so reassuring. It makes you want to be a part of this fellowship. And the principles that we have here do bring out the best in us. And as a result, it brings more meaning to all of our lives. So keep in mind what a special home we have here. I'm finally going to get to my script. And paraphrase the children's recessional that when we leave this friendly place, love gives light to every face, and may the kindness which we learn light our hearts till we return. And I would add, and not just till we return, but forever. May it be so.